Have your Bibles, you can open them to Proverbs chapter 3. This is part 3 of the series that we're on. And I think it's probably going to go 6, 7, 8 weeks. It's important that you avail yourself to all of these services. There's such vital information. You know, my heart grieves when people go through things unnecessarily. And what I mean by that is, you know, excuse me, there's a times that you say things in the Word that if people will do the Word, it'll make a dramatic change in their life. But if people aren't here to hear it, or if they don't avail themselves to the message that they couldn't hear, to be here to hear, then, you know, they go without. And the Bible says this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What you don't know does hurt you. Ignorance is not bliss. You know, Jesus said the truth will set you free. He didn't say that, did he? He said, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. It's not enough that there's truth, you have to know the truth. And when you're talking about a series like we're talking about, and we'll pray in a second, about being led by the Holy Ghost, a lot of people have no idea what that is. A lot of people have no idea how to even begin to do that. And so they don't receive the benefits of what God has said, and it just grieves me. And so in this series, avail yourself to these messages. This is the third week. We'll do a little bit of review, but we're going to get going here. So Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we magnify you. We're so thankful and so grateful for your word and what you're saying to the church right now. Father, you have a better life for us. And Lord, it just comes down to doing things your way. You're so merciful and kind. You've already demonstrated that you love us and that you're for us and that you won't. Father, you showed us that you wouldn't hold anything back from us, that you gave us Jesus, that forever proved that you're all in with us, Father. You have pushed all of your chips to the center of the table and said, I am all in with you. And so, Father, we thank you, and we need to cooperate with you. So help us say the right things this morning, Father. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I endeavor to speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Again, this is the third week, and we're just going to go over it real fast. I mean, I might fly through this, but you can go back on the archives and listen. But this is our golden text for this series. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And so that's what we're talking about, that God gives you an invitation that if every single area of life, every single affair of life, physically, financially, emotionally, jobs, what to buy, relationships, different things like that. He said, if you'll acknowledge me in all of your ways, I will direct your paths. And we saw that God's a good path director, that his will, the Bible says, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health. 3 John 2 tells us that. So God's will is that you'd prosper and be in health. We saw David said, when God leads, he leads beside the still waters. He leads beside the green pastures. Praise God. God's only leading to good places. He said in Isaiah 48, 17, he said, I will teach you how to profit. Praise God. In Psalm 32, verse 8, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. Praise God. So God is inviting us to never again struggle in areas of our lives if we'll do it his way. You know, so many people have struggled year after year after year, spinning their wheels, their ruts getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's not the flow of God for your life. The Bible says you go from glory to glory. 2017 ought to be your best year ever. That's the will of God, and that's what's available through God. But he says the way you're going to do that and have my paths, your paths directed, is if you trusted me with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, acknowledge me in all your ways. And we saw that in Romans 8, 14, you could just flip there real quick, Kim Lai, if you wouldn't mind. Romans 8, 14. You might want to just follow along and write these down as I'm flying through this. The Bible says, for as many as are led, remember he said, I'll guide you and direct your paths. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the way God is leading you onto what? Into the a wish above all things, health and wealth, still waters, green pastures, profiting, different things like that. The way he's doing it is he's leading by the Spirit of God. In Proverbs 20 and verse 27, it said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, what's a candle used for? Back then, it was used to light the way so that you wouldn't trip, so that you wouldn't stumble, so that you wouldn't run into things unnecessarily. And it says that in Proverbs 20, 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So you have a spirit. But the Bible also says, again, I'm just reviewing fast, in John 14, it says that the spirit of truth will come. It says that you don't know him until you get born again. But once you get born again, you know him, because the Bible says he'll be with you. But more importantly, it says that he will be in you. Praise God. And the Bible says in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit talks to our spirit. The Spirit in John 16 says that the Spirit of God hears from heaven, relays, and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Our spirit's on the inside of us, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That's where your spirit man is, right in here. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost hears from heaven, talks to our spirit. That's how he relays what God is saying to us, and that's how he leads us. So this series, what we're going to teach you is how to be led by the Spirit. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God is inside you, but the Spirit of God inside you hears from heaven, then relays to your spirit the affairs of life. The Bible says, out of the heart of man, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The way you're going to thrive and succeed is by living out of here, not out of the outside man. And so that's how God's leading. Again, you can get all those series, the last 2 weeks we preached on those in detail. This is just a quick review. We saw in 1 John 5 and verse 7, the Bible says there's three that bear witness in heaven, and they give record, and it says that they're the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Praise God. What that verse ought to do is tug on your light switch or your pull chain there for your turn your light bulbs on when you hear that the Bible said the Holy Ghost is the same as God, and John 14 and 16 says the Holy Ghost is with you and in you. That ought to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you have God on the inside of you. There's no reason why a Christian ought to stumble, why a Christian ought to falter and fail and go around constantly chaos after chaos, crisis after crisis, conflict after conflict. Why would that be when you have God on the inside of you? There's no reason anymore why we should say, I don't know what to do. We can't do this. It's impossible. Ladies and gentlemen, you got the Red Sea Parter on the inside of you. The same Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 8, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you.
Praise God.
Praise God is right. But the problem is, many people are unaware of this. And being led by the Spirit of God is just simply being led by God. Amen. The written word and the spoken word in your heart. Praise the Lord. You know, when God says to do something in your heart, it has just as much weight as when he penned it on the page. Praise God. That's being led by the Spirit, following God. And we saw last week, I dangled it out in front of you. Now, last night in Olean, they told me, this one lady, because I said, you know, I would dangle a carrot out in front of you, but for me, that's not going to make me chase anything, because it's a carrot. Kit Kat or Twizzler, I'll go after that. But anyways, she said, came up to me last night, she said, oh, you don't know, Pastor, I got these carrots from this organic farm. And her daughter actually said, I prefer it over cake. And I said, my God, I got to try one of these carrots. Holy cow, bring me one of these carrots. I'll eat them if they taste better than cake. But anyways, we're dangling out in front of you. That's what we did last week because, number one, it's one thing to find out that's how God's leading. But then we saw last week there's a benefit to following the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. When God does things and leads you, you know, you don't have to compromise with God. Well, if I get one blessing here, it's going to be bad over here. Nope, it can all be good. Amen. He adds no sorrow with it, but you got to be led by the Spirit of God. And so we wanted to get you motivated and excited to draw a line in the sand and say, from now on, that's how I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I mean, isn't it amazing? In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, he says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things to come. Your heavenly Father, the God of the universe, is inviting you and saying, I want to be a part of every area of your life. Amen. I want to take what's wrong and turn it right. I want to take the crooked things and make them straight. Praise God. If people will follow Spirit. But this is what you have to understand, is that most Christians, and I'm not saying that as a blanket statement to be dramatic, it's the truth. Most Christians know nothing about how to be led by the Spirit. They're not taught anything about the Holy Ghost. You know, in the churches today, we praise the Father, we praise the Son, but the Holy Spirit, stay quiet about the Holy Ghost. Don't talk about the Holy Ghost. You might offend people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost is the one part of the Godhead that's still on the earth today. The Father's on the throne, Jesus is seated at the right hand, and the Holy Spirit's ministry is still here on the earth. We ought not to kick him out of our churches. Just because we don't understand some things, praise God, we need to get in the Word and get some discernment. But we ought to not, you know, usually what people aren't up on, they're down on.
That's right.
What they don't know, but we're not going to be that way here. We're going to learn about the Holy Ghost. But it's important to know that most Christians are not led by the Spirit of God. They don't ever consult with Him. They don't ever follow Him. And the reason that is, go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. God is offering you a way out of what you're going through. Praise the Lord. He's offering you blessing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. I want to show you, this is very important. This is what we'll look at the next few weeks. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God," now notice this, "your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So the Bible here in this verse is telling you that you are a triune being. What does that mean? You are a three-part being. The Bible says that your spirit, soul, and body, we're going to look at these the next 3 weeks, break these down, because what you're going to find is that all three of these are attempting to guide you and lead you. All three of these have a voice in which they're trying to use to guide you and lead you. And the majority of Christians are going by the wrong ones and they're getting themselves into trouble. Amen. It's just the truth. They've submitted to the wrong leading. But notice he says your whole spirit. Of course, the spirit of man, we'll look at that in 2 weeks. That is the real us. When this life is over, the body stays here on the earth. Sometimes it gets cremated. Sometimes it just gets put in a box and put in the ground. But regardless, the real us, this is just our earth suit.
That's right. Amen.
And some of us got a prettier one, a taller one, a more muscular one. I would have liked a more muscular and a prettier one. But I got what I got, so you're stuck with my earth suit. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so you got an earth suit. Well, that's your body. But then your soul, and a lot of people think the soul and the spirit are the same. No. That's why he said spirit, soul, and body. If you look at the soul in the New Testament, it's talking about your mind, the thoughts of man. Praise the Lord. The reasonings of man. And so he says your spirit, soul, and body. And it's important that you understand that they all have a voice. And that they all are trying to lead you. But what's the way we're led? They that are led by the Spirit of God. But the problem is, many Christians, I've been guilty of this myself, are led by their bodies. Are led by their minds. Just so you understand what the voice, and today we're going to focus on the body, and what the Bible says about that. The body has a voice. Just like the mind has a voice, the mind of the voice, or the voice of the mind is thoughts and reasonings. Well, the voice of the body is feelings. Amen.
Amen.
And a lot of people are led by their flesh or led by their mind, and God's not leading that way. What do I mean, Pastor? Pastor, what do you mean? Well, when people face a decision, what do? They don't get on their face. They don't get in prayer and get quiet and ask God. A lot of people just go with what feels good. A lot of people go with what seems good. A lot of people, they do pros and cons lists. A lot of people get on the phone and ask a million people opinions. A lot of people get online and see what this says. Never even consider what God is saying. Never even care. Well, it pays more. Well, it seems like I'd like to do that. Well, that would be fun or that feels good. And God might not even be in any of it at all. You know, folks, just because you think you're doing well, and just because you think that things are going great, and just because you're happy with things, doesn't mean God's in on it.
That's right.
It doesn't mean God's in on it. Hallelujah. We'll see some examples here as we go forward. It's important not to beat people up, but to let people know You got to learn to discern, and that's what we're going to teach you in this series, the leading of the Spirit. Because there's times that the Holy Ghost will lead you to do things that will put your mind on tilt and make your flesh very uncomfortable, but it's God, and it will end up being for your benefit.
That's right. Amen.
And there are times that your flesh and mind will say no, and they'll kick against that, and God's saying, That's my flow for you if you'll just go that way. Or sometimes your flesh and your mind will say, oh, that's so wonderful, that's so good, that feels so good, that seems so good in my mind. And God is saying, no, you go that direction, it's going to turn out bad for you.
Yeah.
But when you follow the Holy Ghost, you don't miss things like that. Praise
Amen.
God. I mean, have you ever made a bad decision that you thought at the time was a good one?
Yeah.
You ever made a wrong purchase or a wrong investment or wrong job choice or wrong relationship? I mean, at first, seemed like great. You know, God knows who's Dr. Jekyll and who's Mr. Hyde.
That's right.
He knows if you'll follow the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But we trip and stumble and falter and fail. Why? Because we haven't become skillful in this. So we're going to become skillful in this. So today we're going to focus on the body, because if we're led by anything other than the Spirit, we will have less than God's highest and best. So the voice of the body is feelings. Well, if it feels good, it must be God.
Come on.
Feeding the body and doing whatever the body pleases. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. I want to show you some dangers of this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. And I'm going to help you at the end to be led by something different than your body, your feelings. You know, what are we talking about here? We're talking about sins of the flesh. We're talking about, you know, your love walk. We're talking about, things just kind of doing whatever your body feels like doing, whatever feels good. You just do it because that pleases the body. Well, you can live that way. But the problem with that is the Bible says in verse 8 of chapter 6 in Galatians, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh." What's he talking about, the flesh? That's the body, realm. "Shall of the flesh reap corruption." They that are, the Romans 8 says, they that live by the flesh, destruction leads to death is where it leads to. Hallelujah. It's not good to be led by the flesh. Why? That's what, not the realm God's leading in. Go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Just probably flip over a page or two. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Notice verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth," that word lusteth in the Greek is the word warreth, or there's a battle going on. The flesh is in a battle against the Spirit. That's a problem. Why? Because what are we led by? The Spirit. So he's telling you right here, don't be led by your feelings, because actually your feelings or your flesh is in a battle with your Spirit. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. What's he saying? Your flesh might say, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's God. Your flesh might say, no, but that doesn't mean that that's God. They sometimes can line up, absolutely. But I'll tell you what, people that are led by the body get themselves in trouble. They sow to the flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. I want to show you an example in the Word of somebody being led by the flesh, costing them big time in their life. Go to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Again, what is being led of the flesh? Just doing whatever, being led by the body, doing whatever the body feels. You know, discounting the things of God, not following the Spirit. If it feels good, do it. Put it in my body. Do that with my body. Do this with my body. Well, that's a problem when you're sowing to the flesh. Now, here's why. When you sow to the flesh, you're in the realm of the devil.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, what's that problem with that? The Bible says he comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, Jesus is the remedy to sin. Praise God. We don't beat you over the head and say you're too far gone and you can't get back and life's over for you. But the problem is, if you continue in that lifestyle, the Bible says the wages of that will be death. So we don't want to live. We don't want to live that way. So Genesis chapter 25, go to verse 29. This is talking about Jacob and Esau, brothers. It says Jacob sod pottage, or made pottage or soup or stew here. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. He'd just been out hunting. And you know, it's during hunting season, I put on the most weight. I come back from hunting, I feel like I could eat the whole house. So I understand what Esau's going through here. And it says, Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said to him, he understood his brother was weak, sell me this day your birthright. Now, and Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, which is garbage. It's not. You ever said you're starving to death? It's not really happening. In case you didn't know, I mean, it feels that way, right? Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? He said, Jacob said to him, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him and said his birthright. So he's basically saying, I'll give you some of this food I made if you'll sell me your birthright. Now you might think, big deal, it's just two brothers talking. First of all, you have to understand a couple things. People's word meant something back then. When people spoke something, I mean, nowadays, I know people's words don't mean very much. I mean, people lie to me all the time right to my face. People's words meant something back then. You know what the Bible says about a man of integrity or a woman of integrity? It says that they'll swear to their own hurt and changeth not. That means that you'll say something and you have to stick to it because you said it, right? Amen. Last night at the Olean nursery, or the Olean church in my office before we went out, Caleb and Abby were in there, and there's this calculator in there, and they like to play with it, and it was Abby's turn, and Caleb said to her, I heard him say, hey, Abby, can I play with that? She said, no, you know, it's her stuff. She wanted to do it. And Caleb said, I'll give you $20. And she goes, where is it? He goes, I'll give it to you when you get home. And she goes, okay, and gave it to him. I said, buddy, I said, the next $20 that you get is going to your sister. What do you mean? What do you mean, Dad? He goes, and this is where he tried to try to fool us. He's a smart kid. He said, that's just two dimes, right? No, buddy, you know what $20 is. I said, she's going to buy a nice toy with that $20. I said, I hope that calculator for the next 5 minutes is worth it. Because you're going to stick to your word. You told her that. You're not going to trick her. You stick to your word. Amen? I'll tell you what. So he's going to learn. You just say something like that, you're going to stick to it. Now, of course, we wouldn't get crazy about things, but that's a good lesson for him. He'll go without 20, and I might just take him with me to Walmart while she picks the toy out. Just to really sink that lesson home. Amen? Hallelujah. And so anyways, number one, the word meant something back then, but also the birthright was so important in that culture. That's where the most of the inheritance went to. That's who God was going to cut the covenant down through and keep the covenant going. It should have gone through Esau. It ended up going through Jacob. So the birthright was something huge. And Esau just totally made it a worthless thing. And he said, what? In verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and sold his birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and the pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way, and Esau despised his birthright. Why? Because now the order switched. Sure. Now Jacob was now in line for everything that Esau, over one stinking meal. Yeah. You see how powerful the flesh is? Yeah. Yeah. He completely gave up something so important over one meal. My question would have been, why didn't he just take an extra 10 minutes and make himself something or go eat something else? It wasn't that important to him. Now, see, that's what a lot of Christians do with their own flesh. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I hope you brought your steel toes. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. One meal. Because he was so hungry. Well, what was going on in Esau? His flesh was screaming loud. Ladies and gentlemen, that's... We'll tell you how to remedy this. But people's flesh man, carnal man, is so much bigger than their spirit man. And the voice of their flesh is so much louder than their spirit that their spirit is just crying out to do the right thing, to go the right way, to say the right things, to be a part of the right things. And the flesh is so loud it just dominates and our spirit never has a chance. And that's what happened. Esau came in. The spirit man of Esau wasn't built up that much. He was just weak and faint. I'll tell you what. That's why, yeah, I'm going to say that because the Holy Spirit just guided me during the holiday season and things like that. You know why the devil can attack people? Because people get too busy, 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 busy. Their spiritual life goes on the side. You think the devil says, you know what? It's the Christmas season. Let's just kick back and let these Christians have an enjoyable holiday. And let's just let, I mean, they're too busy to go to church. They're too busy to read the word. They're too busy to pray. They're too busy to spend time with me, with God. And so, you know, they're a little bit weaker now. So I'm going to make it fair and I'm going to back off. No. The devil's going to pounce. That's right. Yeah. That's why the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Because the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The fight is not in the natural realm. The fight is in the spiritual realm, and it's one in the spiritual realm. And so if your spirit man is little and your natural carnal man is big and loud, you're not going to have a chance against the enemy.
Wow, that's so good.
It's just the truth.
Yeah.
I know some of this is hard going down, but it's the truth. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. So Esau is like, Esau, don't you know what you just did with your body? Well, verse 19 says, what? Paul says, what in the world? He says, know ye not that your body is the temple or the holding place of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, we said that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. God saw it fit to put himself in a human body. Yet we, as Christians at times, put all sorts of things in our body. Don't give our body proper rest. Take our body places they shouldn't. Put our eyes places they shouldn't. Put our hands places they shouldn't. Do things with our body. And the whole time, we're housing God. But we must not know it by our actions. I'm talking generally in the body of Christ. Evidently, Esau didn't realize the birthright, but don't you realize what your body is? My God, you are housing the most important, precious thing that's ever been. God's in there.
Praise.
And he's saying, don't you know that? Your body's, I know this is fun. I'm glad we're not doing this on Christmas Sunday. We want to keep Christmas Sunday more fun than this. It says, your body is that, although Olean's a week behind me, so they're getting this on Christmas Eve, but that's okay. They'll wake up in the morning and be happy. Be Christmas morning. So it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Now you might say, my mind works this way, it always comes with the questions of to refute things. You might say, okay, if the Bible says I'm not my own, I didn't sign up for that. Well, you did when you accepted Jesus.
Right.
And you might say, well, I'd rather have the trade-off of doing whatever I want with my body. You might want that trade-off now, but when eternity comes, you're going to be very, very, very unhappy with that decision.
Right.
The decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, he came in and live with you and possessed you. That's why a Christian can no longer be possessed of the devil, because they're possessed of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, you're not your own.
Right.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You're not your own. I've used this example before. If I let you drive my truck, I bet with the honor we have in this church, if someone wanted to use my truck, man, I bet you wouldn't bring it back to me full of mud. I bet you wouldn't bring it back to me with your McDonald's wrappers all over and the salt from the French fries all over the little cracks of the seat. You can tell I've a lot of experience with the salt in the cracks of the seat. And I wouldn't think that, you know, if you're honorable, that you wouldn't, mistreat it the way you drive it and handle it roughly and things like that. Why? It's not yours.
That's right.
You wouldn't do that, right? I mean, you wouldn't come into my home and with your muddy feet and kick your feet up on the table or, you know, make a mess and do things or damage things. Why? It's not yours.
That's right.
But the Bible says the same thing about your body. That your body's not yours. It's his. But man, we treat our body any only way we want to, and that's a problem. Go to Judges chapter 16. I'll show you another example of somebody being led by the flesh, getting them in trouble. Judges verse 16. Now this is the story of Samson and Delilah. Judges 16 and verse 4. We're going to look at some things here. Because what are we talking about? Being led of the flesh. You know, when God spoke to me, go to Rhema, which is the Bible school I went to in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and all that went with that, I'll tell you what, my flesh was screaming loud. Don't go. Don't go. You don't know anybody. You're going to be alone. You're leaving everything you know. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. But yet it was God the whole time.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? And then there's been other things where my body said, yes! Go, that feels good, do that, yes, and it's got me into trouble,
yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, you know, you've all been there in different things. So Judges 16 and verse 4, it says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved, this is Samson, a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, And the lords of the Philistines came unto her. Now again, the Philistines wanted to take out Samson. Samson was a man of great, great strength, supernatural, godly strength. It said, and the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him. So she was already bad news. See where his great strength lieth. They couldn't understand, how is this man so strong? That we don't have time to go back and look at that, but God gave that to him. And remember where his strength came from, was in his long hair. Say, why does God do things like that? I don't know. Why'd God send Elijah down by the brook chair to feed him by the birds? I don't know. Why'd Jesus spit in somebody's eyes to get him healed? I don't know, but it worked. Amen. Amen? So something about his hair, God said his strength's in his hair, and he said, entice him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. So they wanted to take him out. Now remember, it said in verse 4 that he loved Delilah. Oh, Samson, his flesh was just at full bore, right? He loved this woman. She must have been pretty in his eyes. He must have just wanted to be with her and spend time with her. Oh, he loved her, you know? I mean, if I love him, it must be God. Amen. They're good to me. They're good looking. Come on, let's find out what happened here. He said, and Delilah, now this goes with anything. Well, that job that takes me out of church, it pays me double. Yeah, but it takes you out of church.
Come on, come on.
Amen.
Praise God, that's good.
You traded your spiritual life in for a paycheck, and your paycheck will only last you so long.
Right.
Amen. You see what's wonderful about being one of God's children and understanding God? The Bible says for me that my needs are met according to His riches and glory. That way I don't care what the gas prices are doing. I don't care what Wall Street's saying. I don't care what the news is saying. And I don't care if my pay goes up and down and what unexpected bills come in the mail, because that does not change my supply. My paycheck's never been my supply. My inheritance has never been my supply. Mommy and Daddy have never been, well, they have been my supply when I was younger, but now they're not my supply. God is my supply. And God don't change.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't change. Amen. But Pastor, they were going to pay me more. And, you know, this vehicle, it seems so good on the surface, but you didn't ask God to see. He knew it was a lemon.
Yeah.
This person seems so good, yeah, but you didn't talk to God about it, and they turned out to be the devil.
That's right.
Amen.
That's so good.
You know what being led by the Spirit will do? It'll keep you safe.
Amen.
It'll keep you safe. Praise God. No, we're all taking inventory now, and you're either loving me for this or wishing I would shut up. But I'm not going to shut up yet. I don't have time yet. Shut up. He says, and Delilah said to Samson, now look at this. This is what I don't understand. You talk about his feelings being so loud. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein your great strength lies, and wherewith you might be bound to be afflicted. I mean, the first thing I would say to her is, why do you want to know what it would take to bind me and afflict me? What do you need to know that? And you know, she probably, oh, if you loved me. You can just see the conversations that were going, oh, Samson, as she's just stroking his long locks. If you loved me, batting her eyes at him, why would you hold anything back from me, right? And his flesh is so loud. His flesh is loud. Oh, I got to tell her. Well, and Samson said to her, verse 7, if you bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak. And as another man, of course, he wasn't telling her the truth. Now, this is where you find out how loud his flesh really is. Because look at it. Then, verse 8, the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now, wouldn't you think? Now, verse 9, it says, there were men laying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. Now remember, she's tied him with a thing that he told her he can't get out of. And he broke the withs as thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire, just like it was with fire. So his strength was not known. So here's the thing. She cries the sad song, Samson, tell me. So he tells her the wrong thing. Well, then she actually does what he said would hurt him, and then he gets out of it. Now you would think he'd say, I'm done with you. You're crazy. Like, what in the world is wrong with you? But nope, Samson's so flesh-driven. I mean, think about it. Some of the things that we do as Christians, we're just as foolish and just as silly.
Sure.
Being led by our bodies. Well, it goes on to say in verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, you have mocked me. You told me lies. I thought you loved me. No lovey-dovey for you tonight, Samson. I said, oh, don't take the cuddles away. You have mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, where you might be bound. You tell me right now, we're done. I'm telling you, this is, you know how it went. And he said unto her, if you bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak as another man. So he told her the wrong thing again. So Delilah took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he wakes up. He's tied up with what he told her he can't get out of. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber, and he broke them from his arms like a thread. And Delilah came to him again. I mean, what in the world is wrong with this guy? And I'm telling you, I've been on the other side of people looking at me and saying, what in the world is wrong with you? And I've been on the other side telling people, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? And that's I would love to have a counseling appointment with this couple. Samson, what in the world are you doing? And Delilah said unto Samson, hereunto, up until now, you've mocked me again. You told me lies. Tell me wherewith you might be bound. And he said unto her, if you weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon you. And he awoke out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how can you say? So basically he got out of it again. That's King James for a whole lot of whatever that was. And she said unto him, how can you say, Samson, verse 15, I love you when your heart's not with me. You have mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength lies. I mean, I'm telling you, you talk about how loud the flesh can be. How loud the flesh can be. We're seeing it right here. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. I'll tell you what, associations matter.
Amen.
Yep. Good company corrupts, or bad company corrupts good character. Association matters. And it came to pass daily, this mighty man of God was brought to his knees by this conniving, deceitful woman, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, verse 17, and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, or if my head shave, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. She got what she was looking for. You see what the devil will do, ladies and gentlemen, with the flesh is he entices you. And he'll make it seem good, and he'll make it feel so good, but my God, we can't be led by the flesh. How good did it seem to Samson? It must have seemed so good to be with Delilah, to bypass even natural wisdom, yet alone spiritual wisdom. See how the devil, you see what the devil can do? Is he can bring you a pretty package with a nice bow, and on the inside it's a ticking time bomb. It's a stick of dynamite waiting for you to open it up. In anything in life, that's why we're not led by the flesh. You know, I think about Lot. The Bible says Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, he didn't know what Sodom and Gomorrah would turn out to be, but the Bible said Lot looked and the land was well watered everywhere. It seemed good. It felt good. He said, oh, I can do good there. He never consulted God. He went with what seemed good and felt good, and it cost him a lot of heartache, didn't it? If you look at the story of Lot. So anyways, Samson, if you read the story, it didn't turn out too well with him, praise God. Last but not least, we're going to find out what to do with our body, but I want to bring up this to you as well. Remember in Genesis 22, you can look at these stories later, when God told Abraham, take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him for a burnt offering there. Now you tell me, ladies and gentlemen, as a parent, how good that would have felt in your flesh. It would have been horrible. Your flesh would have been saying, no, 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 no. But yet God was in it the whole time. And all the blessing that came from Abraham obeying the voice of God. Because Abraham went up and did it, and God's intention was never to kill that child. It was to cut a covenant with Abraham forever. But my point is that God was in something that the flesh did not feel good about. Amen. That's why the body could be so... You look at Samson, how scary the flesh can actually be. Amen. It's true. So what to do with your body? I'm going to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 24, what do you do with your body? Because your body screams, screams, screaming. You know, the body just wants to do whatever it pleases. You know, the body doesn't like going to church. The body doesn't like having to get up and drive to church and get the kids ready and everything. The spirit likes it. The body doesn't. You know that the body doesn't like walking in love at times, the feelings. You know that walking in love is the key or the driving force behind your faith, which faith is your victory. The Bible says that faith, that love is the key or the energizer or the thing that jumpstarts your faith, your love walk. And a lot of times people say, well, I just don't feel like being loving. Well, love was never a feeling because Jesus said, love your enemies. You'll never feel that way. You'll never feel that way. And so we're going to help you here because you know what the carnal Christian does? Okay, yeah, that's good. That might not make people too thrilled, but the carnal Christian, you know what they're like? We were at my mom's house the other night for dinner. My sister's there, and she has a little, how old's Joey? One. And so that's still baby, you know, and he, this kid is so cute. He's got cheeks that make Caleb's cheeks look little. And if you saw Caleb's cheeks, maybe they weren't that small, but anyways, the kid loves to eat. I mean, he just loves to eat, but if you try to take his food away, oh, everybody in the apartments below you and across the street will know it. I mean, he screams his head off. And that's what Christians are like. When their flesh starts a-screaming, when they don't get their way, when they've been rubbed the wrong way, they get offended, they get mad, they go by their feelings. You're acting just like a big baby. A baby just goes by what they feel and they act out, right? That's not it. But the spiritual person can bypass the feelings and go with their heart. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Look at what Paul said. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race, they all run, but only one receives the prize. There's only one winner. He says, run that you would obtain. He said, if you're going to run your race, you might as well run it that you're going to get the prize. I don't understand. I'm confused at why people would not want God's highest and best. You know, some people are just happy living below. I say, Pastor, don't talk to me about that. I'm not going to change that. I'll use an example. You know, the Bible talks about how God enjoys our worship. It says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Praise God out of your mouth. It's a sacrifice of praise. He's very clear about what worship is and what pleases Him. But not only that, we see in the Bible that there's great power that comes with worship. How did the walls of Jericho come down? When they shouted. Right? When in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when the presence of God moved in, what brought the presence of God in that the Bible says the ministers couldn't even stand to minister? What brought them in? It says when they lifted their voice as one, began praising and singing to God, the power came in. How did Paul and Silas get delivered at midnight? They were in prison, but notice God's power didn't come until at midnight Paul and Silas were heard singing and praising God. The Bible tells it, but let's be honest, I'm from this camp. It's very uncomfortable to the flesh to do this in front of people or to say, praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We don't mind doing it at a Bills game. We don't mind doing it at a birthday party. We don't mind doing it at something else if someone showed up with a lottery ticket. But when it comes to God, for some reason, we get quiet. But the problem with getting quiet is it doesn't please Him and it doesn't do you any good. But people say, I'm going to go by what I feel, Pastor. One person said to me, I said, your answer, because they were praying about something. And I said, your answer is not found in that. It's found in praise. There's power with praise. I said, Pastor, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not comfortable praising God, so therefore I'm not going to do it. That's a carnal baby Christian right there. I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of what the Word says. I'm going to go by my feelings. My feelings are uncomfortable to raise my hands in church. My feelings are uncomfortable to praise God out loud in church. Well, I don't find a verse where God asks for your comfort level.
That's good.
Worship and praise in these things are about His comfort level. So He says, so what I'm saying is I don't understand why people wouldn't want all of God. Like, why not strive? Like some people say, Pastor, we're just not like you. You're a pastor. No, I'm a human being who still has flesh that has to use faith, that has thoughts and has flesh as well. I just choose to go after God.
Amen.
I don't understand it. And Paul said, I don't understand either. He says, if you're going to run the race, you might as well try to be first place.
Right.
Why even participate if you're not going to try to do your best?
Right.
Amen.
That's good work.
Praise God. And every man, he says, that striveth for the mastery is temperate or self-control in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but he says, we live a sober, temperate, self-controlled lifestyle for an incorruptible crown. We're going for those things. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He says, so I fight, not as one that beateth the air. He says, but I keep under my body. One translation says, I buffet my body, or I strike my body blow by blow. Basically what? To keep it down. To tell your body. You know what your body needs to be like? The thing you find at the arcade with the little gophers pop up. Bam! Your body starts running its yapper. Bam! You knock that down. Bam! You knock that down. Yeah. Hallelujah. He says, I keep under my body. Now notice this. And bring it into subjection. He said, I keep my body and I bring it. He was calling his body an it. Yeah. He knew his body was not the real him. Spiritual man there. He says, I keep under my body, bring it to subjection. Now notice this. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He's saying, if I don't take care of what my flesh does, because I'm going to be disqualified. Ladies and gentlemen, God will never be able to use the carnal Christian to the extent that he wants to use you. He will never be able to bring you into the fullness of the blessing that he has for you if you're going to be led by your flesh. Because the flesh is not the spirit, and the flesh is actually, it's at war with the spirit. That's what he says here. He said, I'll be disqualified. What did Paul say over there in 1 Corinthians 3? We don't have to look there. He said, I have fed you with milk, for up until now, I wanted to feed you with meat, but you haven't been able. Paul's saying, there's more I had for you, but you stayed a baby. You stayed a baby. You know what stinks about being Joey when he's 1 year old? My nephew that can't stand me and doesn't want anything to do with me, by the way. Trying to change that. To put your faith. If you'd all agree with me that my little nephew will like me this Christmas, that would be nice. I mean, you should see the way the kid looks at me. But anyways, you know what separate... I don't even know what I was talking about. I get off in these tangents and I just forget everything I was saying. Praise the Lord. We were talking about a one-year-old, right? You know what stinks about being a one-year-old at dinner time? He can't eat what I can eat. And he might think his food is good, but he don't know yet. And see, you stay a baby Christian, and you're getting certain things. You, oh, this is good, this is good. No, no, no. If you became spiritual, life is so much better. Amen. God has so much more. And Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I fed you with milk. You weren't able to bear the meat. Yeah. He said, yeah, you're carnal. Yeah. Keep being led by the flesh. They'll never get what God has for them. He said, I become a castaway. So go with me real quick. With 3 verses, we'll be done. Romans 12 and verse 1. I'm not going to take a long time on this. Romans 12 and verse 1. I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want to miss out on what God has for me because my body's so loud.
Right.
Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. How, Paul? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable service in the Greek means your rational act of worship. It's an act of worship to say, Lord, this is not my body. I'm going to use it for your purposes. Ladies and gentlemen, you only get one shot at this life.
That's right. Amen.
You know, the most terrifying and wonderful day ought to be the day you're looking forward to when you stand face to face with Jesus Christ. Some people are, the Bible says that your heart can condemn you when you stand before him. I'll tell you what, I don't want to stand before him and be ashamed.
Right.
I don't want to stand before him. You know, like my pastor always says, that you know, I want to stand before Jesus and have him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want him to have to stand in front of me and say, well, you're done,
yeah.
Right? My goodness, and that day ought to, in fact, the Bible says that day, the fear of standing before Jesus ought to purify yourselves. Under the coming of the Lord, the thought that he could show up at any time ought to make you live holy for him. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians 5 and verse 24. I know this is not the most fun Sunday morning, but it's the truth. It's the truth. A lot of carnal Christians out there. And they that are Christ have, what do? You crucify the flesh. You know what a crucifixion isn't? Pretty. You know, when you start to tell your body no, it won't be pretty. Your body has a big mouth. Your body will put up a show. Your body will put... I remember, I told my pastor, because we're going to see here in a second, I'm going to leave you with just some homework. There's remedies to quieting your flesh. And I remember I needed an answer on something, and the answer's found in the spirit realm. And so I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, I go to pray, you know, and all of a sudden I just get so hungry. Or all of a sudden, I'm just so tired. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, I was wide awake and now I'm tired. And so then, Pastor, you know, and I'm singing in the blues, I said, you know, I just can't pray for these answers. I just get too hungry. And I get too tired and just my flesh is too loud. And he said, wow. He said, and this was a slap in the face. I loved it. He said, wow, it's that easy for the devil to keep you out of the things of God. Just trigger your flesh a little bit and you just back off. Listen, when you crucify your flesh, it's going to kick.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the habits, the addictions, the lifestyle. And you say no to that, your flesh is going to let you know it's not happy. Your flesh is going to let you know. But you see, the way that you're going to overpower your flesh, now listen to me, this is important. The way that you're going to overpower, because listen, we understand people deal with habits, people deal with addictions, people have been in certain lifestyles and certain ways for so long, it's just become a part of life, and your flesh man, your carnal man is so loud that it seems impossible to beat these things. You feel like, I'm going to live with this for the rest of my life. No, there is a remedy.
Amen.
It's making your spirit man bigger than your carnal man. Here's your remedies. Romans 8 and verse 13. You keep living in the flesh, you'll never get to where God has you. Romans 8, 13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But notice this. But if you, through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the answer to your carnality, to the habits, the addictions, the wrong living, the sins, the things that seem to have such a grip on you that you feel like my whole life's going to be this way, the things that are holding you out of God's highest and best, the Bible says the way you're going to mortify those things, the way you're going to destroy those things is through the Spirit. He says it's possible if you do it through the Spirit. If you try it on your own power, some natural means, you will struggle, you will fail. It has to come through the Spirit. Amen. So, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? Well, number one, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why? Because the Bible's called spirit food. Jesus said in John 6, my words are spirit. They are life, or zoe, or the God kind of life. So the more you feed on the Spirit, just the same way a bodybuilder, when they're trying to get big and trying to get big and strong, they're putting extra calories in. They're putting protein in. Why? Trying to grow and grow and grow. Well, that's what Christians have been doing. You've been feeding on carnal things, and the carnal man is growing and growing and growing. And the spirit man is not getting the right protein. Go to Matthew 4:4 real quick. Matthew 4:4. The spirit man's not getting the right diet. And so the spirit man's weak and small. And the Bible says you're going to, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh. No wonder you can't kick that habit. No wonder you can't kick that addiction. No wonder you can't change and go a different direction. Why? Because the Spirit man, the one that's going to win the battle, is tiny.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Put me in the ring with Mike Tyson in his prime, and now, even now, let's just be honest, and let's see what happens. He's big and strong. He's trained. He's skilled in that area. And I step in the ring and pop goes the wheel. I'm done. It's over. Game over. Right? That's what you're doing. The devil's big and bad and in the sense that he's skilled in stealing, killing, and destroying. He's put an onslaught on you. And the way you beat him is your spirit. And your spirit's this weak little wimpy thing that's trying to fight off somebody that's been skillful in killing, stealing, and destroying day after day, year after year.
Wow.
And we wonder, why can't we get past these things? Because the realm that you're fighting from has not been trained, has not been built up, has not been made strong. The more you feed on the Word of God, the stronger your inward man will be. If you'll do it through the Spirit. And then last but not least, Jude 20. Hallelujah. Now let me preface this, because we have newer people all the time. If you don't know anything about praying in tongues, don't let that scare you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18, he said, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. Jesus said, they that believe will speak with new tongues. So for those of you that don't know anything about it, I can sit down with you. There's a class online. books that we can get you that show you the Bible. It's amazing. The churches that don't talk about this wonderful gift that Jesus said you'd have and that Paul said he did all the time. I'll tell you what, Paul dominated in life. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something again. Paul dominated in life. He was naked, stripped, and bound in prison, and his response was not moan and groan. I want my phone call. I want my lawyer. I wasn't, what? Why, God, why is this happening to me? I go to church. I'm a good Christian. I'm a good person. No, his answer was, Father, I worship you. Father, I praise you. And the power came. Why? His inward man was so strong.
That's right. Amen.
So big. And what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 14:18? I thank my God. I pray in tongues more than you all. Oh, but I thought that tongues business was of the devil. No, that's just what the devil's told people to twist it.
Right.
If you don't know anything about it, we can help you with it. Praise God. But look at Jude 20. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up. Isn't that what we need? To be built up so we can go against these things? On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 said this, if you pray in tongues, you edify yourself like an edifice to rise higher and higher. Charge yourself like a battery. I had to move my tractor the other day. Went to start and move that thing. The battery was dead. But you know what? On a full charge, I can move that thing around wherever I want it to go. So, Christian. So you want to, so in closing, if you can say, Pastor, I want to be led by the Spirit. You got to learn that you got to get past what your flesh is saying. You got to be able to differentiate and separate what your flesh is saying. And the way that you're going to get past these things is through the Spirit. Spend much time in the Word. Spend much time praying in tongues. The inward man will grow. Praise God. You know, there are people that had addictions for life. I'm one of them. Don't even bother me anymore. I was so addicted to gambling. You might maybe scoff at that, but I'm talking about to serious where it put me in serious problems. And I drive by a casino every Saturday night. I'm on my way to church. And every way back from the church, and I look at that thing, and I just laugh. Actually, I went in there and had lunch at a buffet with a gentleman that met me there. And I walk in, walking right by the slot machines, where you can see into there and see all the tables. The thing that used to try to destroy my life has nothing on me anymore.
Praise God.
Alcohol used to be so strong in my life. I'm talking about just sitting there and drinking myself silly, and I have not touched the stuff, and I don't even know how many years. The last time I touched it, I was the best man. I was the bridesmaid in a wedding. I was at a bachelorette party with like 10 girls. Last time I had something to drink, it was years ago. Doesn't even faze me anymore. Yet I struggled. Why? My spirit man got big. My spirit man got big. Amen. Hallelujah. And it'll happen for you too. Just take time sowing into that realm and not the carnal realm. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We're grateful. Father, we might have stepped on some toes today, but they'll heal. Praise God. Lord, you're not mad at us. The remedy to all these things is forgiveness anyways. Father, we could have sinned our whole lives up until this point and ask you to forgive us, and you will, and it'll be gone like it never happened. So, Father, there's no condemnation. There's no guilt. This is all an effort to help people, to get them walking by the right realm, which is the Spirit of God. So, Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and glorify you. Thank you for our help. Can we just thank him right now real quick?
Thank you, Lord.
When somebody makes you a nice meal, I hope you thank them. All I did was serve the meal. I didn't make the meal. God made the meal, so we thank him and praise him. Thank you, Lord, for the word. It's our help. Father, this stuff might not be the easiest to hear, and it might step on our toes, but Father, it's the things we're doing wrong that are hurting us, so we thank you for help. There's a better tomorrow for us. There's a better way for us. We bless you. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, the answer is, I'm going to heaven. And you might say, how do you know that that's so? Well, the Bible says if I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and if I ask him to come into my life, the Bible says he'll save me and I won't perish, but have everlasting life. If I call on his name, I'll be saved. So if you're here and you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, Pastor. Well, let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus was real? Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? If you believe that, you're qualified, you're a candidate for salvation. The last step is not church attendance, not having your good works outweigh your bad works, not giving a certain amount of money, not jumping through some religious hoop. Your last step is to ask Jesus into your heart, to to accept Jesus into your heart, to ask Him to come in. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you can say, Pastor, I'm not sure where I'd go, but man, I sure'd like to know I'm going to heaven. And I'd like to become a part of this family where God is helping me and speaking into my life and directing and guiding me in the right ways. With heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just raise your hand nice and high? Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you so much for your boldness. Praise God. How, you know it's God when you can preach on that and people still getting born again. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before we close? We're not going to embarrass anyone. Anybody else? Father, we had one hand. We're so thankful. Now, if you raised your hand, it's important to listen. I said I wouldn't embarrass you. I won't make you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But the last thing you have to do is invite Jesus in. He's not the SWAT team. He doesn't kick the door down. He wants you to ask Him to come in. So we're going to ask Him to come in. You're going to ask Him to come in. But we're all going to pray with you. So all our voices are going to be raised at one time. And we're all going to say this. So if you raised your hand, it's now time to invite Him in. So repeat this after me with everybody else in the church. Say this, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that You died on the cross
for my sin.
And I believe
that
You rose from the dead.
And I ask You
to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now before you rush out of here, give me 2 minutes. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, your next step is to plant yourself. Now get this. This is important. A Bible teaching church. Does not have to be this one, but make sure it's a Bible teaching church where you learn about what God has said in His Word, and then you do what God has said in His Word. And then also, don't forget this, we do have goodies over in the old sanctuary. And then don't forget, next week is part 4 of this series, and I know it's Christmas, if you can come out, we'd love to, as far as I know, the Holy Ghost is going to have me keep going. I'm not going to do something special on Christmas, I'm going to keep following the Spirit of God, which is special, amen. And but if you can't be here next week because of Christmas, make sure you get it on live stream or on the archive. You don't want to miss the next part of being led of the Spirit. We found out today, the body. And so don't forget that. Wednesday night, 6:30. Have an awesome rest of your weekend. And don't forget, go get your kids right away, and you are dismissed. Praise God.